Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, June 21st, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered. These tools are made available absolutely free from the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the link in the upper left-hand corner of the page that says Start Here. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book provides a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and relationships, manage my emotions, and turn any negative emotion I experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each of us have been gifted. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon-Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a host of audio files that have been curated out from the past 10 years of this internet radio show that they now call a podcast. And the curated shows, many of them contain examples of people being stepped through that worksheet process so that they can serve as a tutorial for you. And you can build a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience by listening to those shows and then doing your own worksheets. We've also made the commitment in this year to work through the Course in Miracles lessons, and today is the 172nd day of the year, and the workbook lessons began a review on Monday, and the review commentary talks about how we're ready to give more effort and more time to what we undertake. We recognize that we're preparing for another phase of understanding, and we would take this step completely that we may go on again more certain, more sincere, with our faith upheld more surely. So we are asking to be taken to deeper levels of understanding of this work and to have our perceptions clarified. And there's a request to let this review become a time in which we share a new experience for you yet one as old as time and older still. All right, so God is but love, and therefore so am I. And with this we start our day, each day of our review. With this we start and end each practice period. God is but love, and therefore so am I. The creation is but love, and therefore so am I. So yesterday's lesson was, all things are echoes of the voice for God, or the voice for creation, or the voice for love. And creation is but love, and therefore so am I. The power of decision is my own. Today's lesson's review, God is but love, and therefore so am I. The creation is but love, and therefore so am I. Lesson 153 states, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. We talked about this, meaning in my perfect safety, in my refusal to defend against anything, in my acceptance of my perfect and total safety, that's where my safety lies. Lesson 154, I'm among the ministers of God, of creation, of love. And creation is but love, and therefore so am I. So that's the update and the review. Catches us up to today, which is the 172nd day of the year. And the Course in Miracles experiment by Pam Grout, her lesson 172 reads, the universe is programmed to support your happiness. Robert Frost is quoted as saying, I am not a teacher, but an awakener. Pam writes, the dude is but love, and therefore so am I. In my defenselessness, my safety lies, and I am among the ministers of the dude. She writes, anytime I don't feel joyful and at peace, it's because I'm giving attention to something that disagrees with source, the source of all creation, my source. To use the old radio analogy, I've tuned into an oldie station that still believes in pain and suffering. So today, I commit to bring a different energy to the party. I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, turn the other cheek. He wasn't suggesting we should walk around with bruised cheeks and black eyes. He was saying, I should begin moving in a different direction. Turn my cheek, so to speak, to a higher, brighter, more pleasing reality. So that's our Course in Miracles lesson, workbook lesson for today, and the Pam Grout corollary material. And we have 50 minutes left to discuss, to answer your questions, or talk about your questions and some answers. And I was reading over the weekend about the brain functioning that's in Gabor Mate's book related to, his book is titled In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts. And as I was mentioning last week, he talks about how we can never understand addiction if we look for its sources exclusively in the actions of chemicals, no matter how powerful they are. Addiction, this is a quote from Lance Dodds, a psychiatrist at Harvard Medical School. Addiction is a human problem that resides in people, not in the drug or in the drug's capacity to produce physical effects. It's true that some people become hooked on substances after only a few times of using, with potentially tragic consequences. But to understand why, we have to know what about those individuals makes them vulnerable to addiction? Mere exposure to a stimulant or narcotic or to any other mood-altering chemicals does not make a person susceptible. If she becomes an addict, it's because she's already at risk. So this set of tools that Michael Rice and Jeannie Rice make available are specifically designed to help us remove the internal pain, conscious or unconscious, that leaves us seeking escape, that leaves us wanting a solution outside of the self. And the difficulty is, because the pain is internal, any lasting solution must also be internal. And we are hoping that you will pick up tools like the ones Michael and Jeannie make available, or perhaps similar tools by Diedrich Wolsack. Here's an email I received from someone who was thanking me for the Diedrich Wolsack interview, and she said, "Just wanted to thank you for your Diedrich Wolsack interview. I will be listening to it again. His succinct comment that we are forgiving our personal beliefs finally got through to me. I have always associated forgiveness with a person as an object, or myself or someone else. Here, Diedrich Wolsack makes it very clear. It is our thought disorder we are forgiving. So, she has been listening to this internet show. She has been listening to Dr. Michael Rice. And it took this, it didn't take this interview, but finally, as she was looking at it and listening to it again, she got an insight that she'd never had before, which is blatantly, directly stated many times from Dr. Rice and myself. And that's why we're encouraging people to continue to get exposure to these tools from a variety of sources, because you never know when hearing the same thing for the 12th or 130th time might click in a little bit differently and give you a different level of understanding. Welcome, Ellen.
Hi, Dr. Tim. I haven't yet listened to that interview, although Susan sent me a link for it, and I'm definitely going to listen to it. But I did listen to one of his YouTube videos over the weekend where he explains his six-step process, choose again process. And I have some questions. Right after I listened to that, I ran into this situation that I don't think it has quite the charge it used to have. I mean, I think I've definitely made some progress on it, but it's something that where I always end up getting angry. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna try using this process. And the situation is neighbors that are very loud. This was at night, you know, I was getting ready to go to bed, and they were out in their back partying, which their back is like facing the back of my house. And So I started doing the process. You know, the first step, yeah, I'm upset. The second step is this has nothing to do with them. It's all about me. The third step is, so what is the feeling? And it's a feeling of anger. And then the fourth step is, you know, when did I feel this type of anger as a child? And there are many situations in which I felt a lot of anger as a child, but the one that this most reminded me of was the ongoing fighting between my parents. And because I was too young, you know, I couldn't just leave the house. So I was pretty much forced to have to listen to it all the time. And I hated it. And, you know, I just wanted them to shut up, you know, and I even tried once, and I don't think I was more than four. I don't even remember what my methodology was, but I was really, I just so wanted them to stop fighting that I came up with some way to, that I thought would help them stop fighting. And when I approached them with my solution, they wouldn't even listen to me. It was like they thought it was absolutely ridiculous that a four-year-old could have a solution for them. So anyway, so, you know, I did everything I could to try and stop them from fighting, but I mean, there was really nothing else I could do, right? I was just forced to listen to it. And so this is what this really took me back to, this current situation. So the next step in his process is, okay, so what belief did I form about myself in that situation? And what I came up with was that I believe that I was helpless. Now that kind of really rings true to me that was it, because that's been like an ongoing theme throughout my life. So I was like, okay, that's what it was. So then, you know, the next step is that, you know, you forgive yourself for having, or you forgive, like you were just saying, it's actually you're forgiving the thought,
false belief.
That the false belief that you are helpless. But, you know, when I look at that situation, I was like, well, I pretty much was helpless. Now, this is my first question for you about this process, okay? So when I first looked at it, I was like, okay, well, I pretty much was helpless back then. There really wasn't anything I could do, but I'm not helpless now. But I don't know if that's, like, or is he... Because he says, you know, in when he's explaining the process, that's always untrue.
I would assume that's
because I'm not really that little kid. I that's really a self-concept, a self-created concept, and that's not who I really am.
There will be some other negative thoughts. If you just stay with that. Right.
Okay.
So you're on one that is a literal truth at that age, right? I don't have power over my parents.
Right.
Right. But if you stay with that and explore it a little bit, you will probably also find some other negative thoughts, like I'm not good enough or worth enough to have my parents listen to me, or I'm not valuable enough for them to recognize how hurtful their fighting is. So it's
right.
Those kinds of things where
definitely.
You'll get even more benefit from that process.
Okay, because that definitely was a huge thing back then. Like I did feel like, because there was other things going on in the house where I was literally being like attacked, and I felt like my mother would be sitting there eating her breakfast. Like that was her breakfast was more important to her than preventing me from being attacked. So that is definitely, I didn't really tie it into their fighting, but I can see now that you said that yes, that probably is a tie-in that I felt like they didn't value me enough in order not to fight in front of me like that.
Right.
Okay.
And so when you hit those,
time...
when you hit those situations where it's an actual truth, then do the process, but don't get stuck on it and say, well, but it's really true. Yeah, it's really true. But it was really true only when I was 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 12 years old. It isn't true for my adult self.
That's what I did. So I said, okay, well, it really was kind of true back then, but it's not true now. So what can I do now? I'm not helpless. You know, and I came up with some things that, you know, well, I could buy earplugs, and but that's not going to work because I need to be able to hear what's going on in my house with my cats because things happen in the middle of the night that I need to be able to hear. And so that wasn't an option. It's like, well, I could actually, like, leave and go get a hotel room somewhere. I mean, that seems pretty extreme. And I really don't want to do that and leave my cats. Again, the same situation. Then I was like, okay, well, there is actually a pretty simple one that I could do, which is call the police because it's against the law. I mean, I live in a city, and the houses are on top of one another, and people are, you know, not allowed to be making that kind of noise. So that's what I did. And right after I called them and I was waiting for them to show up and for the noise to stop, I sat down to read my, because this is what I do, like every night right before bed, I'll reread my Course in Miracles lesson for the day and do my meditation. And and I'm reading it, and it's talking about, you know, like when you defend yourself, you're really like attacking. And I was like, oh my God, that I realized that calling the police really was a defense. And so then I was like, oh shoot, you know? And so I'm like that. And I knew when I did it, I'm like, this isn't the solution because the solution is always an inner solution. It's not an outer solution. But again, it was like the thing that I felt like I could do in the moment. So anyway, what was so interesting about this was that about 10 or 15 minutes later, the noise stopped and I was like, okay, they got there and I laid down to do my meditation. And the next thing I knew, I hear it. I start hearing it again. But now it's more muffled. I'm like, oh, maybe they just took it inside, which is probably what the police told them to do, move it inside. And before I knew it, they were back outside again. And, I mean, it was, you know, the music, singing at the top of their lungs with the music. And I was just like, okay, all right. I have been defending myself against this, right? Like, let me try just not doing that, like just accepting it. But, you know, here's this anger, right? I'm feeling this anger. But anyway, I go over to the window and I was just like, to even get closer to it. And I was just like, let me just try listening to this. And what was so funny, Dr. Tim, was when I started hearing the lyrics to the song that was playing at that moment, it was, let it go, let it go, let it go. This is a love TKO. I just have to start laughing. I was like, well, I feel like I'm being like, you know, like I'm being, like I'm in a boxing ring with this thing, you know? But it's a love TKO. I just thought that was so funny. So then, but I was still angry, right? I was like, oh my God, you know? So I thought, okay, well, let me try doing a worksheet, right? But I wasn't willing to like actually get up, turn on the lights and sit down and do one, you know, a written one. So I just started doing it in my head. And the goal that I came up with was to be calm and at peace amidst all the noise. That's what I really wanted, was to be able to just be at peace no matter what's going on around me. So when I canceled that goal, that's when I saw oh, I've been, not only have I been defending myself against the noise, but I've really been trying to defend myself against what I'm feeling about the noise. So that's when I just, you know, allowed myself, because, you know, this is what I do all the time. Like, I get angry, and then it's like I defend myself from the anger, because I don't think it's right, you know. And even though I know there aren't any bad feelings, there I was doing it again. And I don't know, I didn't have a whole lot of luck with it. You know, it's like I was just very open to feeling whatever I was feeling, but I don't know, something seemed to prevent me from really getting into those feelings too deeply.
When you talk about this, the thing that's striking for me is that you were talking about living in your house with your parents arguing, this loud noise, this fear-inducing, this safety-shaking experience with your parents in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Guess what the goal was in this worksheet? I want to be able to feel safe and calm with all this noise in the house again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did enough of those worksheets, I would be shocked if it didn't harken back to memories of whether you're 4 or 6 or 8 years old and not feeling safe in your own house with all the loud, angry noise.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and there were other things going on, too, that made me feel really unsafe. But the noise is what I was really focusing on, you know, the other night, because that's what my trigger was. So I didn't know if, again, like, I really was, like, doing Diedrich's process correctly in that I was saying, you know, I looked at it like, well, I really was helpless back then, but I guess I really, maybe I wasn't, like you said, keying in on the correct belief, or that there were other beliefs that maybe would have been more useful for me to focus on there. But I thought, you know, the helpless one was it, because that's, you know, it's been
Ellen?
Something in my life. Yes.
Hello.
Hello?
We had a Blog Talk Radio snafu.
Oh.
And I got dumped off.
Okay.
And now I've just dialed back in, but I can't be in as host. So I've been gone for probably a full minute because I had to dial in several times.
Okay.
So catch me up. I was just saying, and I got cut off when I said I would be surprised if it doesn't harken back to the times when you were a child in your own home and there were loud noises that made it feel unsafe.
Right. Yeah. And absolutely. I mean, this is something I've explored a lot, because there were many things going on in my house that felt unsafe. But, you know, I was focusing in on, again, the noise, just hearing the noise, because that's what was triggering me at the moment. And it's been something, an ongoing thing, with my neighbors and all the noise. I mean, they're just loud people, you know, and they just, you know, they don't really have regard for their neighbors, but I know that that has nothing to do with my issue and my anger. So
right,
I
but
get
it,
what
but
I,
it, but
what
it, but
I'm
listen
saying.
Listen to the way it does, right? It does have to do with, because your parents would carry on loudly and angrily and aggressively without having any concern for how it impacted you.
Oh, right. I'm just saying that them, my today, what my neighbors are doing is actually a gift for me because it's you know, they aren't the cause of my anger is all I was saying. This goes
yep.
back to, like you said, when I was a child. So what I had said while you were gone was that maybe, because I felt like maybe I wasn't doing this choose again process correctly in that I didn't feel like, oh, well, how do I say I wasn't helpless back then when I really was? And I thought, well, maybe it's he means that because I'm not really that self-concept of myself that I thought that I was, that I'm, of course, you know, who we really are can never be helpless. But I really thought that that was the one to key in on only because that has been a theme throughout my life, feeling helpless. And so it's caused me to become someone who pretty much, you know, I can do most things on my own without anyone's help. Like that's what it kind of like led me to, that I, but again, you know, you get into these situations, you can't, you know, what can you do? Except that recognize that this is something within me that needs to be healed. It isn't something to take care of out in the world. And so that's what I'm, you know, trying to do at this point. But I didn't feel like I had a whole lot of success with it. And I didn't know if it was because I wasn't really understanding his process.
Well, think about it in terms of it just exploring alternative negative thoughts about yourself. And the more you explore the alternative negative thoughts about yourself and then dismantle them one at a time, the more progress you'll have. It's like with Michael Rice's worksheet process, I might do 10 or 15 or 30 different worksheets on a particular issue and then still feel like it's not completely resolved. But every mm-hmm. time I do the process, I get some benefit.
Right.
So if I'm looking yeah. for a particular benefit, a particular outcome from an individual worksheet, I'm probably going to sabotage the system. If I just trust the process and understand that, you know, this is basically the same as the Byron Katie work and the Sedona Release Method and Michael Rice's work, and they're all looking at basically the same thing. It's my beliefs about myself which create the filters through which my perception is created. And so when I'm having an experience that's negative, there's a really good chance that it's because the filters are creating a negative perception. And those filters are driven, and in Diedrich Wolsack's work, he heavily uses the phrase, your core beliefs. And he says, you know, you don't really have any choice about what emotion you're going to experience in a particular situation. That's going to be chosen by your core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very similar to the way Michael Rice conceptualizes it, but slightly different language. Michael says, if that energy is in you and it gets resonated, you're going to feel it.
Yeah,
but
and I know
I believe they're talking the same truth with slightly different jargon.
Yeah, so it's just so interesting to me that I can consciously, totally not believe what this core belief. I mean, what these situations seem to show me that I still have.
Yeah, I can get it at the conscious level, and it can still be unresolved at the unconscious emotional level.
Yeah, and that's definitely what it is, because I know what the belief is, and I uncovered it years ago, and I was like, oh, geez, that's not true. Well, that's good, because, you know, it's my belief about myself, so I can just change it. And then it's like, why do these things still continue to happen?
Well, that's why Michael wrote the book.
Exactly.
Why is it happening to me again?
Again. Yes.
So I hope that answers it for you. I would just keep doing it, but and look for a slightly different core negative belief. And the more I dismantle those negative beliefs, and of course there can be, you know, certainly more than one. There could actually be dozens for each upsetting episode in my past.
Right.
You know, a core belief. And
yeah.
The more I dismantle them, the more I get back to the realization of my true nature, and that's the second part of the forgiveness process in Diedrich's work. The first one is I forgive myself for believing this lie that, you know, there's something negative about me, and the next one is I forgive myself for forgetting that my value is 100% intact and safe and internal and is never broken, dented, chipped, rusted, faded in any way.
Yeah, I loved when I heard him say about the first forgiveness, because that was something that, I don't know, a couple years ago, it suddenly I had some event happen and I knew there was something having to do with my inner child that needed to be forgiven, and then if I finally got it later that night, and it was that I had taken on all those beliefs about myself. And I had such a powerful shift when that happened. But clearly, you know, that's just, again, one more step along the road. There's still, you know, a lot to be done. But that's the first time, yeah, I heard someone say what, you know, I had uncovered myself, that having taken on those beliefs needed to be forgiven.
Yeah, and essentially in both work, even though Diedrich uses the word forgiven, to forgive it, his meaning of it is almost identical to Dr. Michael Rice's, which is I need to remove it. I need to dismantle the false negative belief. And when I do, when I withdraw my attachment to it, when I no longer feed it as being true, then it stops, as Diedrich would say, choosing my emotions in any given situation and, you know, driving my perception. It's all about what my brain is going to tell me is responsible for my internal experience, and my brain is always going to show me things from the outside. It's going to show me it's going to use the product of my five senses to create a picture. And the way my culture teaches me to do that is the focus is always going to be on the outside events and people. And so that's another, you know, Diedrich's work is almost exclusively developed from deep dives into the Course in Miracles. But he has been reading the great philosophers and psychologists for, you know, decades before he dove into the work through the Course in Miracles and turned his life around. So it's going to have, you know, strong similarities to Michael Rice's work, because they're both completely in alignment with Course in Miracles and the ancient Aramaic text, the Kabbalist manuscript, etc.
Right. Now, you were talking earlier about addiction, and I thought I heard Michael Rice and maybe even yourself talk before about anger being an addiction, that we use it.
Well, Michael Rice, not too long ago, came to the insight, whatever, he decided that as far as he's concerned, anger isn't really an emotion. Anger is a drug.
Right.
Now, he's talked about it for years in his lectures as anger is this drug we use to numb ourselves out. But he only recently started talking about it as though it's not even an emotion. It's just a drug. And so he would talk about the problem with the addiction to anger is that it's free and the supplier is internal and it's socially acceptable. So in that regard, it's even more treacherous than alcohol where, you know, it's socially acceptable and it's just a drug to numb me out to internal pain. But alcohol isn't internal and it's not free.
Mm-hmm.
Anger or rage, on the other hand, the supplier is internal, it's absolutely free, and to our great detriment, it is socially acceptable to rage at people.
Well, I would have to disagree with that. But so I was just curious then, because that is, you know, of all when things happen and I get upset, I mean, that's generally what I'm most often feeling is anger. And so then that makes me wonder if, well, that's just a cover, if that's not even really, you know, an emotion, it's just a cover for what the actual emotion is. And it comes up as a way of kind of blocking me to get to that real emotion. Is that how it works?
That is what most people who study this have come to observe, that anger is always secondary, and it's going to be secondary to pain, fear, or sadness. And so when I have anger come up, I give a whole lecture about how anger is a survival-level defense mechanism. And so I tell people, whenever you feel angry about anything, do a quick scan of the environment and make sure that you and your loved ones are not in any serious physical danger. And once you realize that they're not, then take a breath, turn the focus inside, and ask yourself, okay, how am I making a mistake here? Because I'm using a survival-level defense mechanism in a situation where survival isn't the issue. So it's a complete error on my part to use anger or rage unless I'm fighting for my life or the lives of my family members. And every other time, whether it's traffic or somebody calling me a horrible name or somebody stealing $30,000 from me, every other time I use anger, it's covering up my own pain, fear, or sadness internally. It's an inappropriate energy expenditure, and it's only going to create more problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to resolve a problem. The only problem that rage, fight, or flight response was geared to resolve is survival in the moment from a physical threat to existence. So once I recognize it's not a physical danger and my family isn't being physically threatened, I call a timeout, I take that breath, I turn the focus inside, I use tools to dismantle my anger because my perception is dramatically distorted whenever I'm in anger or rage. Always going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talk about the, if you've ever interviewed a trial attorney, ask him or her what state of mind they want the witness for the opposing side to be in when they're cross-examining them. And you can ask them, do you want them to feel calm and safe and secure? And they'll say no. And you ask them, so what do you want them to be feeling? I want them to feel anger or fear. Why? Because that's when they make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's a trial attorney's job, is to get people from the other side to make mistakes. Now, you can, if you want to, you can pretend that that's a special case that only applies to certain people when they're in the courtroom on the, you know, witness stand being interrogated by the opposing attorney. But I don't think that's valid. I think it's all of us as human beings have this mechanism that whenever any intense emotion is up to a certain level, we're triggered, we are not perceiving accurately. And the distorted perception leaves us with what Michael Rice calls, you know, corrupt data and a false picture of what's happening, and it leaves us vulnerable to greater and greater mistakes. It dramatically increases the chances that we're not going to like the results we get if we act when our intense emotions are activated. So as Michael Rice says, you know, driving down a mountainside and pitch black at night and your lights go out, the only reasonable thing to do is stop the car. Do not keep driving thinking, well, I'm familiar with this road. I think it curves to the right here in about 100 yards. When we have intense anger or fear or sadness, and we're faced with an important decision, the most important thing to do is stop. Take a breath or two. Turn inside. Ask ourselves how we're creating that intense emotion. And take corrective action. If we have access to tools like Michael and Jeannie make available, use the tools. Cancel the goal. Restore ourselves to that calm, loving, peaceful state or that awareness of our perfect safety before we choose a word or an action. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I wasn't able to get out of that the other night. It seemed like I needed to allow myself to feel what I was feeling, because that's one of the things that, you know, another of my issues is that, you know, as a child I was told that I shouldn't be feeling what I felt, and I took that in. And so, you know, lately I've been, you know, telling myself, you know, I give myself permission to feel exactly the way that I do. I'm not going to keep pushing it away. And yet that's what, you know, that's what automatically happens. But then, you know, I caught it the other night and I was like, okay, just allow it. Just allow it. Don't defend yourself against it. And
explore it. I mean, there's the idea of I can allow my emotions, and if I step back into the observer mode, I can observe them. I don't have to be driven by them.
Right.
So I can step back and apply the tools. I can start exploring, okay, what are the other negative beliefs that I downloaded when my parents were fighting? And then, you know, use Diedrich's model or Michael's model and do some worksheets. And
yeah, that's what I didn't do. I didn't really explore, like you say. I was just kind of really laser focused. But I will keep that in mind then for future. So thank you.
You're entirely welcome and deserving. And feel free to give us updates if you explore some of those other negative beliefs and then either use Michael's work or Diedrich's work and dismantle them and see how it shifts your perception about what is the experience of noise at night in the neighborhood or from your neighbors. Because it is amazing for most of us that use work like this how once we've done the internal work, the external stimuli can still be there, and the
mm-hmm.
impact on us is dramatically different, if not
yeah.
completely absent. You know,
yeah,
one of the
that's...
more telling examples of that is from Jeannie Rice, where she had this pattern of getting very upset when she thought somebody was ignoring her or disregarding her, especially a man. And she met Michael and learned these tools and started doing her own support group and doing all that stuff. And then the next thing you know, years later, she was in a group where a man ignored her, and Jeannie didn't even notice it. And at the break, a young woman came up to her and said, "Do you believe what that guy did?" And Jeannie said, "What?" And the young woman was thoroughly triggered by it. And Jeannie wasn't triggered in the least. So we've got 9 minutes left. Let me turn on the microphone. Hold on a minute here, Ellen. I'll turn on the microphone for area code 847. This is Mary.
It's Mary, yeah. Yeah, great conversation. I tuned in just a little bit late, but I guess I was a little confused in Ellen's story. It sounded like, I don't know, there's a point even when Michael talks about how, well, this work isn't to be a doormat either. So, you know, and I understand you want to go through your own, you know, you don't react when you're angry. It can always go bad. But at a certain point, if somebody, I didn't hear the whole story, but if somebody's like screaming and partying outside your window, and let's say you got to go to work or whatever, I don't know. It felt like, and maybe I'm misunderstanding that, Ellen, you said something about when you would call the police that you heard the music and it sounded like you regretted doing that, but I don't know if that's a bad thing. I mean, you do have to take care of yourself in a physical world, you know, and not be a doormat. So I guess that's where I'm looking going, yeah, I know I have to do my work on an issue like that, but at a certain point you gotta stop the behavior if they haven't cooperated with you in the past. I know that's like off what you're talking about. I understand that, but there just seems some sort of regret there that I didn't understand.
Yeah, no, it just so happened that right after I called the police, then I was reading the Course in Miracles lesson for the day,
right,
and was talking about, you know, whenever you defend yourself against something, you're actually attacking. And then I realized that, well, I really was defending myself against something. And so, yeah, I did feel a sense of, it wasn't so much regret, I guess, as just that, well, and I kind of knew when I called the police, this isn't going to solve my issue. This may solve the outer happening that's going on right now, but it's mm-hmm. not, it's just like putting a little Band-Aid on an effect and not going to the cause. So, yeah, I mean, I did feel like that was my solution, my outer solution, but I also knew that I needed to resolve this internally in order that it doesn't keep happening.
Right.
And
yeah,
I heard, Dr. Tim.
I understand what you're saying. I just heard it, you know, Tim saying that, you know, sometimes some of that stuff will not go away, but, you know, like Jeannie's thing where you don't notice it after a while, but I don't know, there's a lot of things you're going to notice, like somebody having parties outside your window or whatever. I don't know. It's just, sometimes it's just, I don't know, you got to do what you got to do. I just thought you had some regret there. That's all I was bringing up. That's just my
stuff. It just drove home to me that wasn't a solution. It was, I mean, it was just a temporary Band-Aid.
Band-Aids,
you know,
are good.
Right. I mean, I felt that's what I needed, you know, and that's why I did it. But at the same time, I also knew that I needed to go internally with this and find the core issue within myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
and that's,
thanks.
You know, that's the essential message, Mary, is that it's both and. It's not either or.
Okay.
And so, you know,
okay.
I would also recommend, you know, if you have that kind of thing, calling the police, you know, holding those people accountable. I mean, if you're supposed to be living in community, there are certain things that you can't do without being disruptive to others. And if I do that, and I don't do my internal work about the upset, then I'm not going to have the peace, even if the music stops. Then I'm going to have to be worried about, you know, the next thing. So it's both.
It's both, exactly. Yes, understood. Okay, that helps a lot. Thanks.
All right, you're welcome and deserving. Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Mary?
No, I'm good, thanks.
Okay, blessings. And what's your status, Ellen? Have we covered the material?
Yeah. I just need to do some further exploration. I like I said, my reaction the other night wasn't as intense as it's been in the past, so I recognize that I have made some progress. I think there are some other beliefs that are tied in with that one that I need to do the work on. And I think, you know, when when they're all tangled together, you know, just focusing on one can only get you so far, is what I'm, the message I'm, you know, getting from this conversation.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and what I heard myself say, the idea that if I enter a worksheet with an expected outcome or an expected, result, I'm probably setting myself up for failure. I need to be willing to do, as Michael Rice is so often quoted as saying, an infinite number of worksheets until it's resolved. So
mm-hmm.
I want to be willing to just keep calling up the issue and looking at it from a slightly different perspective, calling up a different goal, calling up a different thought that might generate the negative emotion. And every time I do, a slightly different focus, a slightly different energy resonating in my brain, and then when I cancel whatever goal is associated with that energy, it's going to, you know, it opens, as Michael would say, opens a keyway to a different part of my mind, the unconscious part of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whether it's an endless series of worksheets or an endless series of repetitions of Dietrich's work, or a willingness to do an endless amount of Byron Katie's questioning.
I just started reading another one of her books. A friend of mine, and she had not read A Thousand Names for Joy, and I had not read the one that she had, which is called A Mind at Home with Itself. So we just swapped, and so I'm very excited to read this one. I think it
all right,
was written
good.
A little bit afterwards, quite a bit later than the other one.
Quite a bit later than Thousand Names for Joy?
Yeah. Yeah, but I actually didn't look to see what the date on it was. But all of these different techniques are helpful, and I find myself, you know, using multiple ones.
Well, you're not alone there.
That's really weird, because Dr. Tim is not showing you on the switchboard.
Well, Jeannie, we've had all kinds of problems. I've been trying to shield the listening audience from it, but yes, I'm here, but I'm no longer allowed to be host. And only about a minute ago did it drop off my host phone number, so I couldn't call back in as host.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see how the second hour goes. That sounds
right.
Like Ellen's little giggle.
It is. Well, thank you, Ellen, for the call.
Thank you so much for supporting me.
You're very welcome. And I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Monday, June the 21st, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in. And I'll just say I think that we have got the issue with Google handled, and we have resubmitted about 7 o'clock this morning. So it says that it is in review. So hopefully we'll have a full rollout before the day's out. And the app is already working on the iPhone, as I said last week. And we thank you for being with us. And go to our website, which is whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And it's a new site. There's all the same things are still there. However, they maybe show up in a little different space. I think it's a whole lot cleaner and neater, and it's really nice. And thank you, Susan Giles, for helping us get that going. And let's see if Michael's having trouble in getting in as host since Dr. Tim had issues. Let's see how he's doing. Dr. Tim said he had trouble getting in as host, so if you can't get in that way, dial in as regular. All right. So give him just a few minutes and see if he gets that in. So welcome to a new week. We started out early this morning. Lowe's delivered some block and soil, and we started creating a raised bed in addition to the garden area that we already had. So Michael and I have spent four and a half hours out there working in the dirt, so getting really grounded today, and that's awesome. So if you have a question, press 1. We'd love to hear from you. And hopefully everybody else. There's not too many people on the switchboard today, so I don't know if everybody's having trouble getting in. I'll send Blog Talk a text here and see if they know what's going on. Michael's not in yet. Oh, there he is. Welcome, Michael.
He had issues
the whole first hour, so let's hope that the rest of it goes smooth. Yeah.
Well, it dialed right in for me, so we'll see how it works. I wish we could get their these technological issues handled. It would be much easier for us and for our audience, for sure. Anyway, delighted that you're here. Welcome. Jeannie and I are moving a little slow this morning. We got up early and went out and did a bunch of digging in the garden and tilling and placing of big, huge rocks. So we've both got all these extra muscles we didn't have when we woke up this morning. Anyway, delighted that you're here. Welcome. Glad to have you be involved in this conversation. And if you didn't receive, I sent out to several people a copy of Sunday's Father's Day service at Unity in Columbia. If you didn't get it, maybe, Jeannie, you could just put the link in the notes so anybody might want to listen to it. Just a 30-minute segment on fathers, a little different approach to the idea of Father's Day, looking at how men are really doing in America. And if you take a look at the fact that, you know, there were over 18 million kids living without fathers in their homes, and the fact that the suicide rate among men is 350% greater than among women. And we could go on with the list, but it's kind of a sad set of statistics. And, you know, the service was about asking the question, what's going on and what can we do about it? It was an interesting quote that I brought in that, you know, it's interesting how people bring all kinds of scripture into their speaking, and they think it's got something to do with religion. They have no idea that not about religion. Like, for instance, this particular quote, people oftentimes quote it, and they think it's about, you know, some kind of religious obligation to God or to your parents. But there's a quote-unquote commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother. And it's like that's some sort of obligation to the mother and father or obligation to God or something like that. And they forget that the second part of that quote informs us that that quote's about physiology, about lifespan. Because what it says is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days will be long upon the earth. In other words, if you can't do that, and if you don't know what it means to honor your mother and your father, you know, it's like that particular quote, in fact, informs us that if you don't do that, you're engaging in a poison, literally. Lack of honor for parents is quite literally a way to kill ourselves. And when you realize that, then you start thinking differently about your parents, you know, especially if your parents were a challenge to you. And to the person who says, well, my parents certainly don't deserve to be honored after the way they acted, you're probably the one who most desperately needs to follow that, what word should I use? Because people call it commandment, like, oh, somebody's going to force you to do this. But it isn't. It's actually an invitation to health. You know, you'll notice that there's a command that's put into Yeshua's mouth that says you're supposed to love the Creator, love your neighbor as yourself. At least that's what the Greeks tell us, he said. He didn't say that at all. But he did say, have rachma for the neighbor in order to maintain self. That's about longevity. That quote's about physiology. That quote's not about theology. Nothing to do with it. And nothing to do with those people who are out there in the world. In Aramaic, what he said is, maintain the condition of rachma in your mind when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, and in Aramaic, neighbor means anybody that you think about, in order to maintain self. In other words, you get to keep your human life if you keep that gateway open that is the pathway that love, human life, enters the human form. If hostility or fear are active, that gateway is closed, and the mind is insane. When rachma is active, and there's no such concept in our Western language, there's no such idea even close to that. And so we see, you know, even preachers are running around screaming and raging at, you know, at everybody. It's pretty bizarre. So he gives a directive that you keep, in essence, he's saying, live as a human being. Maintain connection to yourself as love, and you do that through rachma, whether you're thinking about the Creator or a neighbor. And if you do that, then you will maintain your human life. Now, that directive applies to everybody in the world. I don't care if it's your worst enemy. I don't care if it's what the world calls the worst person that's ever lived. If you don't maintain rachma, you lose your human life. Got nothing to do with them. He's telling you how to keep your human life. And then there's that one directive for two people in the world, and that is parents. And the word honor in Aramaic takes the whole thing of rachma to a new level. Honoring includes rachma, but it's about bringing that presence of love that you are into behavior toward your parents. And you say to yourself, well, my parents were so terrible. Why would I do that? Well, if you've been listening, you know, over the last few months, we've done codependency and independence communication. And we've talked on the show from time to time about the power person dynamic and that there is a behavior dynamic installed in the mind when one is locked into a survival mode in their lives. And the three key things that have to occur simultaneously to move into the space to be receptive to the power person dynamic is one, the power person, usually a parent, though not always, had to have more power over your life than you did at any given point. Two, that person was not functioning as a human being, was not functioning out of love. And three, you, as the recipient in that situation, perceived it as survival. If those three things occur, they've got the power, they're not functioning out of love, and you perceive it as survival, then what happens is your energy field opens, and like a sponge, you just suck in every energy in the environment. Well, if that person wasn't functioning as love, the energy environment was maybe rage, hatred, or vengeance, or abuse, or, you know, whatever it was. And if you draw that into your structure, it becomes a part of your structure and your future behavior. Because once that power person dynamic is installed in the mind, literally, until it's resolved, until it's forgiven, until that dynamic is removed, there are only three possible behaviors that you can do. And the three behaviors relate to the power person, and the thing that determines which of those behaviors is going to be active in what we call the automatic decision system is that when there's no stress, you will do whatever you did to get along with your power person. When stress starts to build, you'll do whatever you did to resist and survive with your power person. And if you become ultra-stressed, you'll do what your power person did to you that you hated the most. Now, my offering is, that's what runs the world. So what does it mean if I don't honor my mother and my father? It means that I never drop inside of my own unconscious mind and clean up the mess. And every power person dynamic, and when a power person dynamic is being installed in a mind, the quality of energy that's being installed in that mind is of a disintegrative nature. The more destructive your parents' moods and actions were, the more important it is for you to bring love into behavior toward them. Because if you don't, then it's going to leave you with that resonating hostility or fear, and I'd offer that it's that hostility or fear, literally, that ultimately kills us. And so, really important to follow that directive. Honor. Bring active present love into your mind as you behave toward your power persons. And by so doing, if in the presence of your power person, you're triggered into, let's say, some of their rage, and you're bringing love present and functioning out of love, guess what happens? You get to heal your rage. And the tissue that's storing rage gets to be freed up. It's no longer locked into its trauma or its pain. So it's, you know, it's what we call enlightened self-interest to honor your father and your mother. And of course, we spoke that about that yesterday in the service in the context of dad, but it's both parents. So there's a good starting point for a conversation. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? We'll do a little bit of reading and then see if we have any questions, thoughts, conversation to be had. So we are in the chapter on choosing teachers and why is this happening to me again. We're just going to read a couple of paragraphs and continue that conversation on choosing teachers. And so if you are reading along with us, we're up toward the top of page 81 in the chapter on choosing teachers. And I step into a conversation with Richard. I'm just catching up with where we are. We were out in the garden and just came up to do the show, so I hadn't read ahead to see where we are. So we're talking about, with Richard, about the idea that if you're going to have a spiritual teacher and you want to have a particular quality of spiritual experience, then best that you would work with a teacher who's had that experience. Not very likely, you know, that one who stands up there and rages and screams is ever going to bring the direct experience of full present active love into your mind or be able to tell you how to do that. And, you know, ultimately, what this work is about is really truly incarnating as the human beings that we are, as the presence of love that we are. If we've been functioning out of power person dynamics, then all kinds of crazy things can move, sadness and rage and guilt and grief and pain and drama and trauma. And what we're saying is that if you apply forgiveness to those energetic patterns, and in particular to the ones that you acquired through interaction with your power person, then you can free yourself of that drama and trauma and pain. And when you do, the only thing left to have is the spiritual experience, and that is you get to experience who you are as the active presence of love. So I'm offering him the thought, you know, when it comes to listening to spiritual teachers, I've never heard anyone who's had a spiritual experience say such things as hoax or there is no spiritual life. I've also observed many who have said such things change their minds very quickly when they have an actual spiritual experience. Richard's in the kind of the questioning state. What is the third cause that you have in mind when you spoke of the reason for distortion, Michael? The third possibility is that the teachings were purposely falsified to mislead and control people. So we're saying that Richard's, you know, earlier, if you have been listening to us reading, Richard's been talking about how disappointed he was at the hypocrisy he saw in church, the hypocrisy he saw in his parents, and totally blew anything to do with theology and religion off. And we're opening the space to say, well, you know, is it possible that there's something of value there, but because of early experiences, you're, you know, kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and that we're looking to restore each and every person to experiencing themselves as they actually are. I see why there's so much conflict, confusion, and infighting among spiritual groups. It sounds like each of us has to take responsibility for our own process, clean up our own mind, and choose our teachers wisely. Richard appeared to feel safe enough to explore more about spirituality. As a young man, I dumped all involvement with anything that smacked of spiritual content as a result of my religious upbringing. I also fell into thinking things would make me happy, chased after those things. Now I'm seeing that no matter how much I have, if I don't work on what is in my own head, possessions alone won't satisfy me or bring me peace, happiness, or security. I agree, Richard. Things can be nice to have. They can bring comfort, but comfort does not heal, I offered. Only with tools designed to complete the task can we heal our pain. And we're going to offer the thought here that, you know, nothing can hurt you. I mean, let me back up a little bit. Shy of somebody, you know, doing something like punching you in the nose, nothing anybody can say can hurt you. However, if there's hurt in you, they can resonate that hurt. And when they do, you know, the normal response in our culture is, you hurt me. You made me mad. You made me sad. When the truth is, whatever anybody says, there can be no inflicting of pain on an individual But the pain that an individual is already carrying can certainly be brought into activity by what others say and do. When I realize that, then I stop projecting my pain onto others, and I realize that if somebody makes, an insulting comment, I can look at them and go, wow, I guess you must be carrying that, the hurt of that insult around with you. Can I support you in healing? Or the unconscious part of their own minds that holds unresolved hurt may come forward, and one thinks they've been hurt by what another said. But strictly speaking, that's just totally and completely impossible. And what we're offering is that if you have the tool of forgiveness, if you use the tool of forgiveness, then you can reach into the parts of your mind, the parts of your genes even, that hold pain and trauma, and you can remove that pain and trauma. So we're primarily, here to support the removal, to make the tool of forgiveness available and to support the removal of all pain and trauma. Now, if you've never used that tool before, we invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org. That's W-H-Y, the word why, again.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the home page, you'll see a link that says Start Here. Click that link, and it will walk you through right into full set of instructions, actually several sets of instructions. There are at least 20 radio shows where either Dr. Tim or Jeannie or myself have done a worksheet with someone live on the show, and those recordings have, all the nuances of all kinds of different worksheets that people do. So you listen to all 20 of those radio shows, approximately an hour or so each, and you're going to have a really wide set of instructions on how to utilize the forgiveness process. So we invite you to take that and put it to work in your life. We've got audios, videos, we've got all kinds of materials free on the website. We have a YouTube channel. You can just look up Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-R-Y-C-E, on YouTube, and you'll look at, I don't even know how many videos are on our YouTube channel now, but it's quite a few. And then, of course, 5 days a week, as we're doing now from 1 till 2 o'clock, all you need to do is call the show, 563-999-3581, and we're here for live support. So if there's anything on your mind, we would love to hear from you. 563-999-3581 is the calling number. And if you have a question or a thought for us, please push the button. Call in. Let's say hello. Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet on both fronts. So we have 36 minutes. We've got plenty of time. Press 1.
Well, lots of time for conversation. So how can we support you? What's on your mind? If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, again, the call-in number, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. If you push 1, then you'll be raising your hand in the control panel so Jeannie knows that you want to say hello to us. And we'd love to hear your voice. What's on your mind? How can we support you? How is your process? The other thing you can do, by the way, if you haven't started using the forgiveness process yet, is you can go to your app store on your phone and type in the words Heartland, all one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. And you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. So you can download it. It's a free app, and take it and put it to work. You can do 2 different versions of the worksheet on it. You can do the Dragon Klingon game, which is designed primarily for kids, although I've had adults say they like to use it. And there are also copies of the commitment from Healing Through Relationships. And Jeannie, I think today was the target date for the Android app to be renewed. Have we heard from India? Do we know what's happening there?
Yeah, I was just saying while I was waiting for you to dial in, I was telling them that it is in review by Google right now. And so hopefully before the end of the day, they will give approval and we'll be off and running.
cool. And the new version is already on the iPhone, in the iPhone app store, so you can drop in there. And if you've got the app, you want to update it to the latest, and it will add some functionality. There were some minor problems with, nothing of any great consequence. And in the Android, we'll have that same new functionality. You'll be able to access the commitment from Healing Through Relationships and several different forms as part of the app. So we're expanding that availability.
We have a hand up.
Great. Let's say hello.
It's area code 828. You are on the air. Who do we have?
Hello. Are you doing Jeannie and Michael? This is Rick.
We're
this
rocking.
This is Rick.
Hey.
Hill, bro.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
I didn't catch your name. Who is it?
Rick Sherrill.
Oh, hey, young man. Good to hear from
you. How you doing?
It's been a while. You know, with COVID, we've been hunkered down here just an hour and a half away from you, but we haven't gone anywhere. Jeez, it's been over a year now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I'm so glad that everything we're, I go to Science of Mind over there in Asheville,
right.
And we're starting our Monday night classes again tonight. So I'm thrilled. About
awesome.
That. Yeah. So,
wonderful. So how are you? What's happening in your world?
Well, I've just been kind of hunkering down and using this time as a personal retreat, so to speak. You know?
Right.
I've just been doing meditations. I'm very much into Joe Dispenza's. So,
right.
I love that fellow.
Joe's doing some good work, I know. I've got a close friend. Actually, there's a physician down in Sarasota that I just went down to visit a few weeks ago to he's expanding his clinic and taking in some of the forgiveness work. He's working with some of his staff and such, and he just came back from one of Joe's retreats and was really raving about the event itself.
Sometimes I just go on YouTube and I hit those testimonials of people,
right.
And I just listen to the testimonials. It's just awesome, witnessing that energy. And I've been doing my meditations, and I'm just, of course, I had worked at the center that I go to, but I was laid off last April, so I've pretty much been just bumping around. I've been doing my meditations, and recently I discovered the indigenous, I think it was the Cree Indians, the First Nation in Canada, they have this concept of Wetiko.
Right. The insanity.
It's a mental virus.
Yep.
And so it's fascinating doing that, just focusing on, compassion, forgiveness, just inspiration in the flow of life. I love it.
Changes everything.
It does.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of work on myself, writing and, being present, paying attention to my thoughts and, catching myself when I say, wait a minute, I believe, I believe this, and what that thought doesn't have any, alignment with that at all. So I can let that one go. And,
forgiving thought disorders is a powerful thing to do.
Yes, yeah, it is. You know, a funny thing happened with this when they started passing out those checks, the stimulus checks. That first one I got, it was amazing. I got it very quickly, and they gave me also stimulus for Miriam, you know, and I thought, oh boy, they're going to want half of this back. So I made sure and left half of that, and then I didn't get any other stimulus checks, and so people started saying you should say something, and I said no, I'm really happy with what I have, and I'm grateful for the first stimulus check. I'm doing very well, and I'm just thankful that, and it's got nothing to do with the government or checks or anything like that. It's it's me, so I just let that go, and so when I went to get my taxes done, the lady that was preparing them asked me, she said, how many checks, did stimulus did you get? And I said, one. But I explained it to her, and I said, I'm happy. They gave me Miriam's two, and that first one, I said, it was something I wasn't expecting. It worked out wonderfully for me, and I'm just thankful the way it is, As she said, well, I'm going to put down that they only sent you one. You might hear from them. I said, okay. So yesterday, Saturday, actually, I went to the mailbox, and I had a check in there from the Treasury. So, for the last stimulus that they passed out.
And, right.
I'm just thankful. I've already tithed on it to spread that love around, And,
cool. Nice.
Things just work out. It's
I'm glad to hear that life is going in the right direction. You had some rough patches in there, so that's awesome. Nothing like sticking to the principles and doing your work, right?
Yes. One of my teachers, Barbara Waterhouse over at the center there, she said, just keep it simple. She said, just tell yourself, she's got a story about a pony and that. By the way, she said, don't worry. She said, there's good in that. She said, only good can come of this. Only good can come from this. And I have found as long as I keep my thoughts uplifted that way, it does. It just works out. It's wonderful.
Definitely the way it's designed to work.
But I loved your message, the Father's Day message.
You listened to it?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, good.
A couple of times. So it's very good. Those old wisdom sayings, they're on levels, when they talk about your father and your mother, they're talking about, they're talking about your source.
Yep.
And just appreciating the beauty and, no matter what the situation is, it's always here. It's always here. You can always, just be still and know, and it's just great. Yes, life
awesome.
Is good.
Well, that's nice to hear. I'm just delighted to hear that. Anything else to share with us? Anything on your mind we can support you with?
Not really. One thing I've noticed is that things that I thought that I had let go of and forgiven, as I pay attention to my mind, to my thought,
right?
Things that jump up and say, "Whoa, wait a minute! I just dealt with that." This is there's no vibration for that here anymore at all, and I just
right.
let it go, and it seems to work quite well. But
sweet.
One thing I forget where I heard this from, the phrase, but something I was listening to a while back is, and the speaker was talking about, you've got to parent yourself. And I've just been really contemplating on that, and as I've paid attention, there's always that little squawky, small voice within me that, it's for little ideas. It's fear-based. And
right.
And I realize that, I can actually sense and feel that higher place. So I said, wait a minute, let me get back up here and look at this again. And it works for me.
Right.
Yeah.
Cleaning up the old mind, the generational patterns is a key. And, the healing of the mind is bottom line. You go back to Paul 2,000 years ago, he says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And if we continue to move and make sure that our source is the source that was designed for humans, which is that of love, rather than believing that hostility and fear will get us where we want to go. There's an interesting passage where Yeshua was talking to, some of the officials of the existent church, and he's talking about, your father is the father of liars. There's no truth in him. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And he's talking about the source of our thinking. And then he talks about, and the truth is, our father, he doesn't claim that the creator as his own. He says, our father is love. And it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And if you translate those words, the kingdom of heaven, properly from the Aramaic, it means the community of love. We, if we choose to do it, we have this community of love. And when our thinking comes out of that space, then it tends to literally reorganize everything. When our speaking comes out of that space, it moves things in the direction of a whole experience of the presence of love, which is, in essence, what we're designed for. So glad to hear that that's settling well into your world, Richard. It's just really sweet to hear that.
It is. It's, I remember the signs that were all around the Heartland in the buildings. There was, what is your mind energy on?
Right.
I find myself, many times a day. It's just,
right.
And a lot of times I just, if I'm thinking less than loving thoughts, I've gone from feeling guilty, like, oh no, to laughing at myself, say, I caught myself.
Right.
That being able to laugh at something instead of being terrified of it,
instead of doing your power person dynamic of beating up on yourself, being responding lovingly, gently, respectfully to yourself when you're off base. That's a huge lesson to learn in this culture.
Yes, it is. It is. There's not a lot of support for that when everybody's looking for the guilty party.
The guilty party and to punish. And, we are on the punishment planet, and one of my things is it's time to eradicate punishment from the earth, period, totally, completely. Nobody's ever learned anything positive from punishment. Nobody has ever healed from punishment. It's just an insane dynamic, but it's so taken over. It's taken over the mouths of tens of thousands of preachers who are, you know, well, punish, punish, punish. It's like,
yeah.
Time for that to be over. Time to forgive that, remove it, and let's get on with what we're really designed for.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't have anything more on
Sweet.
My mind right now.
All right. Well, I'm
you,
glad
I,
to hear your voice.
I'm
Richard, do you get texts? Do you get texts
yeah.
on this phone? Okay.
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
Yeah, I got unlimited texting and everything.
Cool.
Okay.
Sweet. All right, sir. Delight to hear from you. Lots of love and blessings. And maybe
okay.
when this pandemic thing gets over, we'll get down to Asheville and share a meal or something.
Okay, yeah. In North Carolina has dropped its COVID-19 thing.
Right.
So we're all in restaurants and the center's even having now we're having goodies and coffee and socializing after after service. And it's wonderful. I love seeing people together talking again.
Right, right. Cool. Well, we'll hold a space for wellness for everyone, sir.
Yes, thank you. I will too. Okay.
All right. Lots of love. Tell Barbara I said hello.
I will. I will.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, there's a voice from the past. We haven't talked in a couple of years, so nice to hear from you, Richard. And if you're out there in listening land and we haven't heard your voice in a while, push one and say hello. Tell us what's going on in your world. It's always good to catch up with friends from the past. And if you're out there in listener land, we've got about 18 minutes left for conversation, so we go in depth on whatever topic is on your mind. If you're using the tools and there's a challenge with using them or a question about how any one of the tools that we teach works, then we invite you to push one. Or if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, the calling number is 563-999-3581. So please.
We
call and say
we
hello.
Have a hand up.
Great.
We have
Let's
a hand
hello.
Up. Area code 417, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Well, hello, Michael and Jeannie. And this is Judy.
Hey there, Miss Judy.
I do have
Good
a
to hear your voice. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. And it sounds like you all are too. Enjoyed your I enjoyed your service yesterday. And appreciate you taking the time to put that out there. On Sunday, Father's Day.
Cool.
And it was so light
and
on.
And if anybody is out there who didn't get a copy of it, you know, I maybe don't have your phone number or what have you, I texted links to several people, then if you go to the notes, I'm sure Jeannie's already got it in there, so you can just click on it and give a listen. I thought it came together rather nicely.
It comes at a very timely time, Father's Day.
Yeah,
the young man that lives across the street from me, he's supposed to be waiting for a heart transplant, and I really hadn't had a chance to talk to him until a couple of weeks ago. And I caught him while he was walking by, and I visited with him a little bit about that on forgiveness. And
right.
I told him that his heart, that it's harboring energy that he needs to let go of through forgiveness on someone
right.
who has injured him. And he went to his daughter's house for the week, and she told me, she said, while he was there, he went around talking to everybody and asking for forgiveness. And she said that his father was very abusive to him when he was growing up, and that's probably what the cause of all this was. And he seems to be moving around pretty good now. And
that's sweet.
There has been an improvement. And so this service is going to be really handy to him to understand in depth of what I was talking about.
Have you introduced him to the worksheet?
No, I haven't had that much time with him. He's had a lot of his family and friends around him and coming and going with them to stay. And,
right.
I can only see him for increments of time. And so I'm going to give him this information on this service that you gave on Father's Day yesterday. It's just perfect.
Cool. Just forward the link to him, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Also, I had a question about the worksheet. Oh, excuse me?
Maybe introduce him to the app so that he's got a way to actually step in and do the worksheets. Maybe, you know, just walk him through one so he has an idea of it. And who knows what happens? Cool.
I did.
And your question is?
I didn't. Okay, question. On the worksheet, where it's, where we're being restored to the pure love of God.
Right.
And I think it says, restore us to thy love, the pure love of God, something to that effect. Restore me to the pure love of God.
Right.
Is there a energy that goes with restoring us to the pure love of God? I keep having the feeling I want to say, restore us, me and the other person, you know, to the pure love of God. Is there a...
For sure.
Okay.
Well, the place that I would go with that, you know, would be, remember that in there we're talking about Ruka Dekutcha, the Aramaic term that the Greeks translated as the Holy Spirit, but that there's nothing there about a disembodied spirit being, but that there is this feminine elemental force in us that when we ask for help is there to help us. Literally, by definition, will undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. And so that's where I would point that request for assistance to being, you know, restored to love and, you know, invite the person you're doing your worksheet on to join you in that restoration.
Well, I mean, even if the person isn't there, that we could ask, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that request, energetically, the request is there that, you know, anybody involved, and, you know, it may even be situations where somebody's already passed, somebody's already dead, and we're working on cleaning up the pieces of our mind that are left over from relationship with them. And even though they're not in their bodies, I think it's also very appropriate to invite that power that resides within us to assist in restoring them to love, even if they're not in their bodies.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
and
it. I just wanted to get your take on that because I'm just feeling it really strongly.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And let's go for it.
All right. Thanks again, Jeannie and Michael,
okay,
for all you do. Bye-bye.
Honored and delighted, young lady. Lots of love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Yes. That's, you know, the upshot of yesterday's Sunday service was that each of us, if there were experiences of hostility and fear in relationship to parents, need to be willing to let loose of or forgive and recognize that forgiveness is not about, you know, asking someone else for forgiveness or asking God for forgiveness or forgiving anybody in the Greek sense of I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. That's actually pardoning. It's not forgiveness at all. So if I'm in the process of working with someone that there's been some bad blood with, then I might invite them to join me in bringing love present into the space and ask that whatever injury has occurred, physical, mental, emotional, can be restored. And you know, when you are in that space of connectedness, the limit on that energy is zero. It will go through all of space, through all of time. And, you know, you'll find people showing up that you perhaps have even forgot there was ever anything to deal with them. And all of a sudden, they're there, ready to make amends and ready to clean up the mess. So powerful, powerful tool, this first century Aramaic forgiveness. And as opposed to, you know, kind of the way the Greeks would present it, the Greek translations, it's like, you did something terrible that caused all this pain inside of me, but it's okay. I'll just forgive you. I'll let you off the hook for what's moving in me. And, you know, in this situation that we were just talking about with Judy, this man doesn't need to go ask people for forgiveness. He realizes that there is pain or trauma in his heart, and forgiveness would be the removal of that pain and trauma so that his heart could go back to its natural state. So removal is more what the word forgive means than anything about letting anybody off the hook. And so if we can support you in any way in that conversation, we've still got about 10 minutes left. And so if you raise your hand, and you raise your hand by pushing 1 on your phone, or if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, call into the show at 563-999-3581. When you do, you'll be listening to the show. And then push 1 on your keypad. That raises a hand, and we'll have a chat. You're in listener land. What's on your mind? How can we support you?
We don't have any hands up, so why don't you explain, I don't have a flyer on the website yet, but we've got all of the videos from the first 2 intensives up on Vimeo, and how we're going to do that as far as if someone wants to do a self-study intensive.
Sure, let's talk about that. Actually, if I remember correctly, I think you totaled it up, and we've got 88 hours and 37 minutes. Is that what's now currently in the package?
And 47 minutes.
47 minutes. So
yeah, and
we're going to create another bonus 1 hour and 13-minute call. There's actually a closure lesson, which I'd like to do with the folks that have been in the last 2 codependence intensives. So we'll look at a time frame where we can set that up, and that will bring the package for this codependence self-study
to 50 videos
to 90 hours.
And 50 videos. It'll even it out on both ends.
Oh, cool. Okay. So that's something we're going to create, but Jeannie's just done a beautiful job of creating a spreadsheet of all of the videos and links to them, uploaded them all to Vimeo. And if you are interested in buying the package, then the whole set for self-study, it'll be 90 hours once we do this extra bonus hour, will be a grand total of $600. And that will give you permanent access. You can go back and review it as often as you want. We cover the workshops, why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, mind shifters, still point breathing, and codependence to interdependence. So all of that is included in this 90-hour package for $600. And you have permanent access to not only all of that video work, but also a food program that lays out menus. And Yurate just did an awesome job of putting together menus for the intensive. She did 14 weeks, 3 meals a day of fresh and raw food with instructions and videos. And she just did an awesome job. So we have a private Facebook page. And if you decide to purchase that set of videos, you will be given an access code to that. Also, you'll be given the invitation to join a group called to install the Trello app. And the Trello app has all of those recipes in beautiful color and really easy to use and easy to read. And, Yurate just did an awesome job all the way around. So if you're interested in joining, in getting into that, drop Jeannie a note. Her email address is Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org. And what you'll receive is, I guess, Jeannie, it's a 17-week package or thereabout, but
Right.
weekly process will be one where there'll be a three-hour self-study video, teaching video on the work for the, well, I guess we've got 14 weeks of that, right? And then there'll be a second one-hour video where there's question and answer and process work that was done in the first intensive. And then there'll be another two-hour video each week that will give you the processing work, the questions and answers from the second intensive. So that's what will constitute the full intensive. And if you were in the intensive and you have any particular pieces of the work that you found particularly meaningful that you'd like to give us a testimony on, that would be awesome. We'll make them available. We'll put it together so that people will be able to access that. And or I actually just talked with Doug. You know, we've talked to Doug very often on the show, and he's going to go through the videos and he's going to put together a review, a paragraph or two or three on each video, so that there'll be, you know, we'll put that in the catalog with the course, so you'll know what each video is about. And if anybody's got anything you'd like to share with us, you know, drop us an email, or if you want to do a little video yourself of this is how this or that impacted me, then we'll also put that all together, sort that all together in the package, so it'll be more and more functional for everybody who's engaged. And if you choose to purchase that package, of course, we appreciate the support. It's nice with us not being on the road to have a little bit of cash flow happening, and that will certainly assist us in that direction. But also, the next time we do that intensive live, you will be able to upgrade that package. The next live intensive will be similar to this last one. There'll be a self-study with this 80 hours of video, and then we'll do a two-hour live session each week on Zoom. So you'll be able to upgrade from this package to that next one. And then once you've upgraded and you've done an online intensive, any one of our given online intensives, then at any time in the future when we do that intensive, you'll be invited as a guest. So it becomes a win-win all around. You know, you'll have ongoing support. And, of course, the radio show here is support for support 5 days a week. And then, of course, if you've done the intensive already and you participate, the new participants will have your support and your knowledge and your insight to add to the process. So I just see us building this package to be larger and larger and more effective and more productive for people. We're looking at perhaps in the fall doing a Laws of Living online intensive, and I'm not sure exactly what the time frame is going to be on that and how we're going to set it up, but we're looking at that. I'm also thinking about perhaps doing a teacher training, which would be the equivalent of a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and a 9-day teacher training. So that would probably be a 16-week intensive online. So we're looking at both of those. And so if you're interested, drop Jeannie a note, again, Jeannie at whyagain.org. And in the meantime, we're down to the last minute or so, so I'm just going to say thank you for joining us. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.